in Georgia. CBS's Steve Kathan takes a look back at her life.
Rosalind Carter had a crush on her future husband before they even met, after she saw his photo in his sister's room.
First time I had a date with him, I came home and mother said, you know, I like Jimmy, he has the nicest smile. So he's had a nice smile for a long time.
They married a year later. The small-town girl from Georgia didn't plan on a public life, but that's what she got as Jimmy Carter moved into politics and Rosalind was his partner on the campaign trail.
And I could tell him about the impressions that I had gotten about different states.
So no surprise that she was later asked,
could Jimmy Carter have been elected president without Rosalind Carter?
Well, I don't like to think he could.
Mrs. Carter was dubbed the Steel Magnolia for being tenacious and outspoken. She was also our oldest living first lady at 96 years old. Qatar's prime minister says he is confident a deal will be reached soon over hostages held by Hamas. Deputy National Security Advisor John Finer.
We share the assessment that many areas of difference that previously existed have been narrowed, that we believe we are closer than we have been to reaching a final agreement.
Finer on Face the Nation today. He says the U.S. is tracking those talks closely. In California, Angelenos are celebrating the return of I-10, which will reopen in time for rush hour tomorrow, weeks ahead of schedule. Vice President Kamala Harris was in L.A. to celebrate.
To all the Angelenos, I would just say this. Tomorrow, the commute is back on, and happy Thanksgiving. There's so much to be thankful for.
A big fire shut down part of the freeway last week. Officials believe it was arson. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has endorsed Donald Trump's presidential reelection bid.
Join me in giving a Texas-sized welcome to President Donald J. Trump, the former and future president of the United States of America.
Abbott blasted President Biden's handling of the border, saying Texas needs Trump back to fix security issues. Colorado Springs paused to remember the five victims of last year's gay nightclub shooting at Club Q. Michael Anderson survived it.
Many of us here today are survivors of that night. This building is a reminder of our greatest nights spent together, but also our most horrific night together.
The shooter serving a life sentence in prison. And authorities in a small town in Iceland say it could be months before residents can come back to their homes. They're still waiting to see whether a volcano there will erupt. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
This is the story.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Scientists are working on a super reflective ultra white paint. Could be a tool in the fight against climate change. Suzanne Potter explains.
Researchers at Purdue University are hoping to bring to market a highly reflective paint that bounces heat off the surface, keeping things cooler, which reduces energy consumption. Emily Barber is a PhD candidate at Purdue who is working on the project. She notes that since energy is often produced by burning fossil fuels like natural gas, energy efficiency leads to fewer carbon emissions.
So especially in warmer climates, if we can keep that roof cool, we can keep the building cool, and therefore we don't have to use much HVAC. We can reduce greenhouse gas that way.
The paint, which may be available to consumers as soon as next year, has been shown to keep outdoor surfaces 8 degrees cooler than surrounding temperatures on a sunny day and up to 19 degrees cooler at night. However, Professor Jeremy Munday from UC Davis says the basic issue with global warming is that the Earth is absorbing more energy than it is emitting. So in order to keep up with the pace of humanity's carbon emissions, which cause the Earth to absorb heat, we'd have to put highly emitting white paint on 1-2% of the Earth, and that would harm wildlife and alter weather patterns.
CO2 levels are still rising, and so we're going to continue to be trapping more and more heat in. We're going to continue to rise, so we're going to have to keep putting more and more of these emitting surfaces up. And so unless we actually get to the root problem and bring CO2 levels back down. This is definitely not a long-term solution.
I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine, just a few high clouds going into the afternoon. East-southeast winds at a high of 51. We will have a mostly cloudy sky overnight at 33. Monday, cloudy at 46. Rain chances not far behind. They'll enter the picture by day night. Right now, it's 48.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Damn, I've been thinking about this. I want to call this the Release the Kraken Tapes Wednesday edition.
Happy hump day, Crudy. Release the Kraken. Nate, working the board. Thank you for your hard work. Our fair audience, happy, happy hump day.
You're going to have to wait till the happy hour to hear the Kraken Tapes. We have the Kraken Tapes. We have the testimony given by Sidney Powell and a little bit of the Jenna Ellis as well. We're going to release that in the 5 o'clock hour for you, our audience. And we're going to have some fun with that. Also, that two first name guy, that Senator Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma. Well, he keeps talking about Fight Club.
You're not supposed to talk about Fight Club, Crudy.
I didn't think as a U.S. Senator, you were supposed to talk about Fight Club. I thought he was a big man, strapping lad like myself.
Oh, no, man. He's like, I looked it up. He's 5'8", man. He's like barely taller than me. He's a little dude.
Little Napoleonic complex, Tom.
maybe a little of that going on. Come on, Mark Wayne, you're making us short guys look bad.
Do you think he wears the DeSantis sliders and the heels?
It's entirely possible. Given the over response, given the brashness of the senator who got shouted down by Bernie Sanders, I wouldn't doubt it, but you know, who am I to judge?
No, I don't know the man, Dom, and I know he's got like six kids, but I see him like in a Corvette with like an AR-15 as his co-pilot, you know, trying to cover all the inadequacies all at once.
That's a total bro says for sure. Red Corvette. Yeah. You know, check the boxes.
We'll get back to that, Dom. But let me ask you a question. Why do Republicans hate engineers? And apparently diversity.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of math that goes on with engineers, and I'm not sure Republicans are very good at that sometimes.
We got a fine guest joining us. She's probably good at math. We're not going to do math on the radio, but maybe a little governance. We've got the minority leader, our friend Melissa Agard, state senator from Madison, coming in here in the Solidarity Realty Studios real soon, like 20 minutes from now. You'll stick around for that. But, Tom, let's start today. It is a rare day when you can say the entire business community, nearly, at least all those impacted by engineering, are against the actions of these Republicans. And by these Republicans, I mean Boss Voss And your buddy, Jay Sortwell, apparently they're of one mind on this, Tom. Yeah,
they've merged their agendas.
I referenced the reporting of Kelly Mayhofer over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Wisconsin businesses need more engineers, but Republicans are holding up the UW-Madison project that would help address the shortage. And you say, why?
Why? Well,
we'll get to that. The Republican war on diversity, equity, and inclusion could cost Wisconsin hundreds of engineers. That's every year.
Collateral damage. No biggie.
The GOP-controlled legislature declined to fund a new engineering building for the University of Wisconsin-Madison as part of the state budget. The project would expand enrollment in the engineering college, and the decision dealt a significant blow to the state's flagship and to the business community, which is typically aligned with Republican interests but finds itself at odds on this particular project. The two have teamed up to push for the building's approval in the remaining months of the legislative session. In surveying every lawmaker about their position on the project, it is clear many support the building of a new engineering building, Dom, but Republicans are holding it hostage to extract concessions from the state university system around the DEI programming.
Again, sounds a little like log rolling to me, Crudy.
Little bit. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, said once a deal with UW is negotiated around the DEI and other demands, you know, the terrorists have their demands, Dom, the legislature would present a proposal that includes the engineering building. So we can't have raises for the staff, any of the UW staff, because Robin Voss wants to eradicate all funding for diversity.
Now, my understanding, also, Governor Evers is suing on that topic, in that specific regard.
He might sue, but that's not changing Robin Voss's mind. He'll waste some more of the term. You know, when you can waste the taxpayers' money in litigation, why not?
I mean, OPM, Crudy.
But to fail to fund capital investiture, and I mean, they've funded other capital investiture, talking about this very same Republican-led legislature. But the engineering building, like, you're going to hold this thing hostage? This is the hill they're going to die on, Dom. We need engineers. We talk about it all the time. We need STEM. We need these very smart people, and we need them on to stay home, right? You want to build a better future for the state of Wisconsin, you better have smart, educated, highly paid professionals living here in the state. Hell, I hear Microsoft making something of an investment right down the road. What if they need some engineers, Robin Voss? Well, as long as they don't need diversity or inclusion, right, Tom?
Right.
Now, just four lawmakers would go on the record opposing the new engineering building. Six more said the project had merit, but was part of a broader negotiation with the UW. Is that what they're doing? Again, this terrorist ask is negotiation. A little bit more here. Most others refused to take a stand. Nearly 60%, 78 of 132 lawmakers either did not respond to multiple requests for comment or declined to discuss their position with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And 43 lawmakers said they supported the project, including five Republicans. I appreciate the arguments on DEI, but holding up this building isn't the way to do it, said Republican Senator Mary Felskowski from Tomahawk. Seems very reasonable here, Dom. We need to continue investing in the STEM degrees that provide family-supporting jobs in communities across Wisconsin. I agree, Senator. But Robin Voss does not, Dom.
A little bit of the math behind it. Again, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. UW-Madison first asked the state to approve the project in 2021. It was estimated then to cost around $300 million. Republicans removed it during the 21-23 budget negotiations. You know, negotiations, Curdy. Inflation has pushed the price tag to an estimated $347 million. $197 million would come from the state, either through taxpayer-supported borrowing or with cash from the state's $4 billion surplus. UW-Madison would fund the remaining $150 million of the project from donors. The university has already raised more than $100 million, but those gifts are all in jeopardy if the university doesn't receive state money this year, UW-Madison spokesperson John Lucas says. Today's the middle of November, Karuti. We're kind of running out of time. The UW system ranked the project number one capital priority this session. Republicans cited cost when removing it from their list, yet they approved some low-ranked projects for UW, including a $139 million addition and renovation to the UW Stout Academic Facility and a $231 million science building at for UW Eau Claire.
Now, I'd point out the state's portion, the state's tab, is smaller on the engineering building than this building that's moving forward, the science building at UW Eau Claire. And I like the blue golds.
Right. No.
But I like engineers just as well, but please continue.
Renovating the current building would be difficult based on its configuration. It was constructed in 1938 and received an addition in 1987. The university's College of Engineering has the capacity to enroll about 6,350 students. That's 4,750 undergrads and 1,600 graduates. The new building would expand enrollment by 18% up to 7,500 students. A quote from Charles Hoslett, who oversees government relations for UW-Madison, if we can enroll and graduate 1,000 more students every year, that's 1,000 more students who have high potential staying in the state and becoming taxpayers as opposed to going somewhere else. Filling the extra seats shouldn't be a problem. About 8,550 students applied last year for one of 1,200 spots in the freshman class.
So we got seven applications for every slot currently available, but we got to hold it all up for DEI terrorist threats from the Speaker of the House.
A little bit here. Some rejected applicants enroll in engineering programs at other UW schools, Hoslett said, but more often than not, they end up at other Big Ten schools like the University of Illinois, Purdue, or Ohio State. And Crudy's not a fan of Ohio State.
Oh, I hate the Buckeyes. Not much of a fan of the Cornhuskers either. We play them this weekend. Dom, but here's the craziest part. The Republicans have put the business community in direct opposition. You know, Republicans have talked about, and again, from this reporting, the importance of keeping the best and brightest high school students in the state for college. That's why their refusal to approve the project baffles the business committee.
Baffling. It's baffling.
Among those calling for legislative action are some of the state's largest employers, including Johnson Control, Kohler, Epic, American Family Insurance, Rockwell Automation. Business groups supportive of the project include Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. That's like the Republicans' right-hand lobby group. Wisconsin Technology Council and the Fox Cities Chambers of Commerce.
I mean, not, you know, those don't strike me as a bunch of hippie, woke kind of organizations or companies, Curly.
Here's hippie, dippy Oshkosh Corporation. You know, they make the war machines. Their CEO, John Pfeiffer, says it just seems like such an easy decision that you want to expand the premium engineering school in the state to help fuel the economy. It's pretty straightforward to me.
It's pretty straightforward.
Dom, the average starting base salary for a UW-Madison engineering major graduate, $75,000 a year. That's a pretty good job. It's better than radio work. But it takes a little more brain power, I would suspect. Come back with us. We'll try to turn the brains on. The Wednesday edition, right?
Yes.
I'm not an engineer over here, or a rocket scientist, or a brain surgeon.
The Tap.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You can join us on the lines 844-967-2789. Why don't Republicans want an engineering school, man? And of course, stick around. Senator, State Senator of Wisconsin, Melissa Agar, going to join us at the bottom of the hour.
Really, it's something of a terrorist act, is it not?
Is it, but is it, you know, this reminds me of the Tommy Tuberville thing, you know, not allowing, you know, these military promotions to go through because of what? Abortion. I mean, you know, nothing to do with the topic at hand, but want to create, you know, some issue that they want to, you know, this hill they want to stand and die on.
These very same Republicans, their idea of economic development, investment in the state, Tom, was Foxconn.
Yeah.
I was in the assembly parlor. I sat. Plop my ass down in the front row when Scott Walker's bright idea, his Hail Mary, right? This was him. And hell, eventually it was Rance Priebus and Donald Trump even glommed on to some credit building the eighth wonder of the world. They built the eighth wonder.
Yeah, 250,000 jobs. Scott Walker said he was going to create while governor.
Well, Foxconn was a big part of that, Dom. But now I understand Foxconn, or at least a big portion, large portion thereof, it's selling. Like, they did nothing there for going on a decade, Dom. In fact, you know, the entire community where Robin Voss lives and quote-unquote serves has just been decimated. At least so many have been pushed out through eminent domain for a corporation that never came, never paid off, never turned
the heavy hand of the government being implemented by small government Republicans to give money to an out-of-country corporation as a campaign promise to part of his 250,000 jobs.
And when Robin Voss sat up there at that Capitol, and I was in the front row again, I plopped down, sat there. And Robin Voss was bragging about the well-paying jobs at Foxconn at $13 an hour. That'd be about approximately $27,000 a year. That's what, roughly a third of what these engineering jobs would pay? And the difference being is instead of the state of Wisconsin, what, investing billions in a foreign corporation, we would actually invest in infrastructure through long-term borrowing that would create human capital that would stay here, right here in the state of Wisconsin. Probably, you know, can't keep them here.
Well, hopefully, right?
But a good job would keep them here. Yeah, once you get that 75 grand a year job, you don't want to, you know, go work as a barista at a Starbucks in Denver anymore. So, Dom, now we've had some movement. The Mount Pleasant deal with Microsoft. Microsoft buying up a big chunk of this, Dom, with no financial subsidies from the state of Wisconsin.
What? No subsidies? Why would they bother doing such a thing?
Here, according to Alan Markovitz, an attorney representing Mount Pleasant, I found this at the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily, Urban Milwaukee, no additional borrowing will be required of either the village or the county. According to the attorney, no new infrastructure will be required of either the village or the county. And finally, no new additional financial incentives to Microsoft will be required by either the village or the county.
That's essentially a repeating trend here.
That's a little bit different than the deal Walker made on the back of the napkin with Mr. Foxconn. Thank you, Mr. Foxconn.
Thank you, Mr. Foxconn.
Last week, Governor Tony Evers and local officials announced Microsoft was expanding its plans for Mount Pleasant, intending to develop additional data centers on the property and to invest billions of dollars in the community over the next decade. Dom, they're promising, my understanding, to achieve a property assessment of $1.4 billion or more. Microsoft, well, that's the deal they, what, made with the community, which helps offset, what, some of the loss on the Foxconn, Dom? Because Foxconn never turned into much, did it?
They say here, according to the reporting at Urban Milwaukee, under the new agreement, Microsoft is expected to build at least four buildings at the site and is guaranteeing a minimum assessment of $1.4 billion by January 1st of 2028. And we're going to roll into 2024 here real soon. So this is looking like a three-year 2024, so three full years.
Do you remember when Scott Walker proposed this? Oh, what a marvelous thing he thought this would be. This would be the victory that would keep him in office and hold back, you know, that super dynamic guy, Tony Evers, right? This deal proceeded, or did it not? Do I get my math wrong? No, it was Scott Walker's Hail Mary reelection plan.
Yes.
And you know, I think about Scott Walker occasionally because, you know, I always wondered what he would do after he failed to be the president. It sounded something like this.
You wouldn't hire me to be a neurosurgeon. You wouldn't hire me to run condos. You wouldn't hire me to run HP. You probably wouldn't hire me to run the United States Senate.
The list of jobs I would not hire him to do, Dom, is they're can infinite. Fill a book.
I mean, but he does, you know, work for the YAF now.
But his idea of economic development was to give a foreign corporation something approaching $4.5 billion in investment with nothing other than a little political capital in return, right?
I'm going to create 250,000 jobs. My math was wrong. 4 years to get this assessed value up to $1.4 billion. And as mentioned, that's in addition to the $1.4 billion minimum valuation guarantee obligation from Foxconn. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, happy hump day. Paul, what do you got for us today?
Hey, Dells, thanks for taking my call. I got just something to say on the engineering building. The Republicans hate, for whatever reason, they just hate the Madison area, the place I spend most of my life living in or around. They also hate Middleton because it's close to Madison.
So that's where I live, Paul. That's why they hate Middleton.
Yeah, right. That's it. But they're never going to, well, I shouldn't say never, but their hate is so intense for Madison and the university that they will not spend money to actually help the state, help businesses. For goodness sakes, you know, and what's going on down there in with Microsoft, that's big time engineering. So it's just sick. These guys, they're just sick people. I don't know.
I don't think it's hate for Madison, Wisco. I don't think it is. I think it's hate of diversity and hate that we would acknowledge that perhaps there's some structural inequities and hate that they might try to make some college kids feel comfortable on campus because, you know, Robin Voss liked it when it was all white kids down at Whitewater. It was right in the name, Paul, if you know what I'm saying.
It's an opportunity, Wisco, for the Republicans to try to jam something up to get something pushed through that they want. I mean, this seems to be kind of par for the course for the Republicans. Again, see Tommy Tuberville.
But what they want is sort of a racist agenda, is it not? Shouldn't they be called out for that each and every day, Dom?
Yes. According to Robin Voss, it is exclusion to want inclusion. That's the logic. But on the other side of this, too, also, you know, those giving all the money to the university and those folks making $75,000. I'm not clear how that translates to donations. You gotta help me out on that one.
If I could only get one of those promised $13 an hour Foxconn jobs. Can you get me one of those, Robin? Robin Voss, Speaker Voss. Got a fine guest coming in the Solidarity Realty Studio. She is Minority Leader, fine Democratic State Senator, friend of ours, Melissa Agard.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
CBS News Special Report. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter has died at her home in Georgia. CBS's Sam Litzinger reports.
Rosalynn Carter was always involved in her husband's affairs. She helped him run the family peanut business. Then she was by his side as he became governor of Georgia and later president of the United States.
My role was more one of a sounding board for Jimmy. He could explain the issues to me and in the process think them through.
Carter was the first of the first ladies to sit in on cabinet meetings, as well as briefings from the National Security Council. She also used her position to promote better understanding of the mentally ill. After leaving the White House, the couple built houses together for Habitat for Humanity, and she was a full partner in the activities of the Carter Center, founded to promote conflict resolution.
Mrs. Carter was 96 years old. She was married for 77 years to Jimmy Carter, who's also in hospice care at 99. CBS News Special Report, I'm Monica Ricks.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Win in overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Nebraska jumped out to a 14-point lead in the first half, but the Wisconsin Badgers battled back to send the game into overtime and get the win, 24-17. Braylon Allen with a 3-yard run to score the winning touchdown, ending a 3-game losing streak. Badgers head coach Luke Fickle.
Well, winning's a whole different feeling, so I wasn't kidding. I mean, you guys have seen me the last couple weeks. You see me on the Monday press conferences, and it's been a stretch, you know, on all of us. I think, you know, every kid in that locker room, every coach in our program, and to get a win tonight, it's so great. I mean, it's deep. It's deep.
Wisconsin travels to Minnesota next week. NBA, the Bucks with a 132-125 win over the Mavericks. Milwaukee scoring in 7 of their last 9 possessions to get the win in the fourth quarter. Adrian Griffin.
You know, your fourth quarter got to be your best quarter, especially when you're playing a terrific team like Dallas.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of sunshine, just a few high clouds going into the afternoon. East-southeast winds at a high of 51. We will have a mostly cloudy sky overnight at 33. Monday, cloudy at 46. Rain chances not far behind. They'll enter the picture by day night. Currently 44 degrees.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Now, I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition. I've got a fine guest here with me in the Solidarity Realty Studios. She is the minority leader of the state Senate, a fine Dem, right here from Madison, Wisconsin. She's our friend, Melissa Agard. Welcome back, Melissa.
Hey, it's good to be here. It's a lovely spring day, I think. Or is it fall?
I know I messed with that microphone, but make sure you tuck right in there. People want to hear Melissa Agard. Melissa, Brewers. I'm very excited. I'm a Brewers fan, and I love the Brewers, and I want to keep them here forever because they're my team. But you weren't always a yes vote on this funding bill. You've evolved to a yes vote, and I've looked to your vote and Diane Hesselbein's vote, and I'm happy you voted the way you did. But how'd you evolve? Why the change on the Brewers funding mechanism?
Well, from the moment that the governor announced that he had a proposal to keep the Brewers here in Wisconsin, I was out on the front line saying, let's figure out a way to make this happen. And my Republican colleagues didn't like the governor's plan, surprise, surprise, ripped it up, put it in the paper shredder, and into the garbage it went. And the Republicans put out their plan. And I always felt that we could get a better deal than what it is that they came to the table with. And certainly through hard work with the Brewers, with the governor, with bipartisan groups of legislators, the assembly got the bill to a better place than what the original plan that was proposed by the Republicans was. And in fact, over 20 Democrats voted with many of the Republicans to keep the Brewers here in Wisconsin. But I still believed after that we could do better for the state of Wisconsin. So as the leader of my caucus, I talked to all of my colleagues. I figured out where their lines in the sand were and what some of our dreams were. And I worked really hard with Senator Lemahieu, the Republican majority leader, the governor, and the Brewers over many, many months to get to a point where yesterday on the floor at 8 o'clock in the morning, I think was when our final amendment was finally being entered into the system. We were able to decrease the state funding. We were able to increase the amount that the Brewers were bringing to the table. We were able to ensure that the city of Milwaukee and the county of Milwaukee were good with the deal and make sure that they had a voice at the table. So at the end of the day, there was bipartisan support with 8 Democrats from my caucus of 11 voting with 11 of the Republican members of the state Senate to make sure that the Brewers do get to continue to call Wisconsin home, because much like you, they are part of our state's culture, and we need to make sure that we're preserving and protecting our state's culture.
Melissa, what do you think the special stadium sauce was that brought this deal together?
Well, at the end of the day, here in Wisconsin, we love our sports teams. We love the Bucks. We love the Brewers. We love the Badgers. We love the Packers, even when they don't win. And, you know, I think that it is vitally important that we keep our state's culture at the table. And we were able to do that here.
Melissa, prior funding, if you recall, Miller Park, some people, some of the constituents around the state really took issue with the prior mechanism of funding. And I know a few of your Democratic colleagues did sit this vote out and did choose to vote against this proposal. And I chastised a few of them because I thought sometimes we as Democrats let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I was very encouraged in this time and this day and age when there's very little bipartisan legislation that passes. I was encouraged to see a deal come together on both sides and with the involvement of private industry and you know, the owner's contribution, even if we would have liked to have seen the billionaire pay more, he paid some. And Melissa, do you feel like everyone should have jumped on board? Is there anything to be said for, you know, just getting on the right side of history on this? Or are there political concerns? Did some of your colleagues express concerns that if I vote for this, there's going to be a price to pay in my district?
Well, you know, we know that the deal that was cut a couple decades ago when it came to the Brewers made it be that the stadium is 2/3 asset of the state of Wisconsin. And we need to be good stewards of things that we own as the state. And that's my job as a state senator, is not only to make sure that we are being responsible with our state tax dollars, but protecting our assets and making sure that our communities are as safe as possible. And by not saying yes right away, by working hard, and by really sticking to the lines that we drew in the sand, I think we got a better deal and we get to keep the Brewers. Do I think that we should be funding billionaires and their sports teams? No, but that's a national conversation. I mean, that's what is happening across our country. And if we really want to keep the Brewers here, this is what we needed to do. And, you know, I respect the differences of opinions, but I am really glad that the Brewers are going to continue to call Wisconsin home.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's Wisconsin Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard. Melissa, I've seen some of the reporting and some of the other folks commenting on this. Kurt and I talked about it a bit yesterday. Was or should there have been a basis for negotiation by looking at the most recent Bucks deal? You know, a 50-50 kind of split. Was that ever part of it? Was there ever any appetite to get to that point or start beyond that and then end up there? How did it play into the Bucks deal, play into any of the conversations that you had?
This is a different deal than the Bucks deal. At the end of the day, we already owned the state, 2/3 of the stadium. And it was an existing asset for the state of Wisconsin. The NBA is different than the baseball leagues in our nation as well. And you can't compare apples to oranges in this case. And, you know, I very much believe that from where it is that we started with the Republicans' proposal, we were able to do much better for the state of Wisconsin. Now, do I wish we had moved forward with the governor's proposal? Absolutely. We have $7 billion of surplus sitting in the coffers here in the state of Wisconsin. And if there was a way to get it done where it wasn't costing anyone money over the next decades, that would have been wonderful. But unfortunately, the Republicans didn't like that deal. There were all sorts of proposals on the line, whether it was a ticket tax for baseball games, whether it was creating infrastructure around the Brewers Stadium, whether it was tacking on the engineering building or trying to expand Badger Care in the state of Wisconsin, or even at one point I suggested we could legalize cannabis to pay for the Brewers Stadium here. Wow.
God bless you, Melissa Agard. You know, they didn't take the $250 million from the Hard Rock Cafe to build the Fiserv Forum either under the prior administration of Scott Walker. Let's not pretend like they've been prudent stewards through prior stadium deals. That was a bad deal from the start after Scott Walker turned down the money. I mean, he put the state on the hook. That's a bad deal. This, a differing deal. I won't characterize it.
Well, and at the end of the day here in Wisconsin, we're going to net millions of dollars through this deal from the taxes that are collected from the players, from additional revenue that's going to come in from non-Brewers events and the ticket fee that's associated with them. Through the fact that we were able to negotiate a lower percentage that our counties are going to be paying to the Department of Revenue for sales tax collections. We as a state and our local governments are going to benefit from all of those. And actually, despite the fact that I firmly support not giving more away to the wealthy and billionaires and well-connected folks, I believe that the state is going to end up making money on this deal, and we're going to continue to call the Brewers our home team.
And I was encouraged also, Melissa, Mayor Kevler Johnson from Milwaukee and County Executive David Crowley, they both were supportive of this and loved the way that that all went down for my local folks here. Melissa Agard, Senate Minority Leader here in Wisconsin. Another Republican deal seemingly is now getting some more action. The Foxconn site, Microsoft, coming in to purchase some land, commit to $1.4 billion assessment in the next 4 years. Melissa, what's your thought on the current deal of the Foxconn area?
Well, you know, from the beginning, the Foxconn situation was a sham. Didn't Governor Walker actually write the deal on the back of a napkin at a restaurant or a placemat that had spaghetti sauce on it or something like that? I can't remember all of those details. But, you know, people lost their homes and local governments lost real revenue. And we are continuing to wait to see this come out in the benefit of the people of the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, we need to hold folks accountable and do better for our local governments and for the state.
Melissa Agard, the very same party of Foxconn, be it Scott Walker, who's now in my rearview mirror mostly, but Speaker Robin Voss is still here, and he was the guy bragging about the $13 an hour well-paying job, the promise thereof at Foxconn, but this very same Republican contingent won't fund the expansion and the remodeling of the engineering college or the building of a new building. And they could turn out another 1,000 engineers a year in this state, a job that would pay approximately $75,000 a year, which is a lot more than 13 bucks an hour, but they're going to hold it hostage, that and the wages of all UW employees, because Robin Voss wants racist policy or non-diverse inclusionary policy.
Yeah, you know, I'm not caught speechless often, but I cannot justify what it is that Robin Voss is doing to the state of Wisconsin and our universities of Wisconsin systems and the people that go to work every single day. They're literally going to work every day to do good for the state as state employees and for the university as university employees. And they aren't getting a wage increase that was promised to them through the state budget process that the Republicans crafted and they overwhelmingly voted for, because one man in the Capitol building doesn't like the idea of diversity and inclusion policies. And we know at the same time that the most successful private businesses are wrapping themselves around DEI because they know that it makes their workplaces to be safer and more, you know, their employees stay there longer and they have higher job satisfaction. So Robin is really wrong on this one. He's been wrong on a lot of things. And frankly, you know, the fact that he's planting his flag in killing our university systems, not paying the workers what they should be paid and not providing the opportunity to have a new engineering building here in the state of Wisconsin, in the city of Madison, is so short-sighted. And I guess it is how we explain the fact that we're out migrating from Wisconsin to other states, right? Like, who wants to get a job at the university if this is the way you're going to be treated? Who wants to send their kid to school there if this is the type of culture that is on our campuses? It's absolutely a shame. I know that there are an awful lot of people in Wisconsin, Republicans and Democrats alike, that are embarrassed by these actions of Speaker Voss.
You know, my son got his admissions package from UW-Whitewater, one of the schools he's considering, wants to be a business major. And I'm like, don't go there. Don't go there. And I hate to say that, but it's the besmirching of the Speaker of the House. But the UW system is really under attack. And I don't know why, with the surpluses, as you mentioned, Senator, why they're defunding in a big way the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh, why they're getting rid of 3 2-year campuses. I mean, this is where people that maybe don't want to go become a doctor but want a secondary degree, an associate's degree, close to home, live at home with mom and dad, got rid of Richland County, getting rid of Washington County. There's at least a third one that's scheduled for closure. Melissa, is it truly enrollment problems? The dollars are there to keep these institutions open.
Well, in the state coffers, the dollars are there to keep the institutions open. And we know that enrollment is up at many of our campuses. However, we're not going to continue watching that trend if we continue to attack it. It's like they have created a prophecy that these campuses are not going to be successful. So who's going to want to dip their toe in the water to be at those campuses? It's almost like you're taking the arsonist and turning him into the fire chief in this situation. It's not good for Wisconsin.
Melissa, I wish there was more time. I understand you're short on time. Thank you for making the trip down. I look forward to seeing perhaps a different take on the maps. The Wisconsin Supreme Court gives me lots of optimism for next year. Melissa Agard, great seeing you out in Delavan that night recently. The Walworth County Dems threw a great party. Great to see you there, Senator. Thanks for making the trip down here. More Devil's Advocates on the other side.
Thanks, Melissa.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
93.5, The Tap.
The devil's advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Join us on the lines 844-967-2789.
Dominic, want to thank our most recent guest, a fun one, always great to host, State Senator Melissa Agard. She is the minority leader, and I'd like to look forward to a time, Dom, when we get new maps here in the state of Wisconsin. Because I got to tell you, troubling to me, the sentiment polled by Marquette University Law School, many of the people in the state and a preponderance of Republicans, they're okay with the current maps. You know, it's like they're on the team with the bully. So, you know, as long as they get to be the bully, you know, what W say once upon a time, you know, dictators are fine as long as I get to be the dictator, right? But I would say that should not reflect the sentiment of the people of the state of Wisconsin. And why do I say that? The engineering school. I mean, when Kurt Bauer, when the guy from Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce is saying, I implore you, Republicans, let them build the engineering school. We need these students. We need these graduates. We need these workers. In the state of Wisconsin, we always talk about investing in our state, right?
Well, I mean,
what's the last investment a Republican made? Investment. An actual.
Foxconn?
Literally, that was it. Foxconn. That's what they have to hang their hats on. And they want us to trust them on economic development? I pointed out many times, I think Tony did a lot better, and it was pass-through money, so it didn't have to have the legislative sign-off. But those bounce-back grants, those small grants extended to small businesses, lots of them. Some approaching like 10,000 businesses in the state got those grants. No thanks to Republicans and Robin Voss. You know what they do? The last tax incentive. We're still blowing the budget each and every year to give an incentive to manufacturers and agricultural CAFOs. They don't pay taxation, not in the same way that you and I and the working stiffs do. They pay a 0.4% state tax rate.
0.4,
not 4%, 0.4%.
Less than 1%.
6-7%. Your workers are paying more than that. Hell, everybody's paying more than that, except for manufacturing, air quotes, and agricultural interest, air quotes, because not everyone qualifies, but, you know, what do you know? The good folks down at WMC always seem to. But when they start turning against you, they got the greatest sweetheart deal in the state of Wisconsin. But you know what tax cuts don't give you? Qualified employees. You can't throw a tax cut at a qualified employee. That takes investment of resources. That takes human capital. That takes engineering schools.
Again, how does that translate to campaign donations?
It could literally translate.
We'll give tax cuts, or, you know, give money away to Foxconn. B, we don't know B yet, but C will be campaign donations. How does any of that activity help any of the politicians out with their campaign donations?
Well, Dom, I can tell you, if I recall, when our buddy, former buddy, Ron Johnson came down to the studios on Brady Street bragging about the Trump tax cuts in 2017. He said, Crudy, I did it for guys like us because I was a small LLC called a designated S tax corp, just a tax filing allocation, meaning any profit from my little radio endeavor. And I don't think I paid a lot of dividend profit taxation, but any pass-through profit, I as a personal individual at that time would have had a claim on my personal taxes. And I was getting taxed at a higher rate than, let's say, corporate C corps. But I also got to claim my taxes. The government doesn't take the self-employed guy's taxation. He gets to go spend it down on any business expense he can justify that the government doesn't, you know, audit him over. You know, see what a nightmare it's been for Donald Trump up till now, Dom. But at the end of the day, he also gave himself a modest tax cut. But we find out there were a couple of families in the state of Wisconsin that got a massive tax cut. Like the Uline family. And oh yeah, the widow Hendricks, Dom. Those billionaires. Lo and behold, they're also designated S-corps. And this modest change relative to a little guy like me, I might have gotten a couple $100 back on my taxes. They got $200 million plus between those two families in the 2018 tax year alone. One tax cut, two families, $218 million. 1 year. That's an ongoing tax cut. That's a
And aren't those some of those folks contributors to Ron Johnson's campaign?
As fate would have it, yeah, like 10 cents on the dollar, over $20 million like combined donations.
That's a good formula. See how it works? I think we just kind of, you know, laid it out. I mean, that's the point.
Well, we can't prove causation, but wow. I would suggest there's a strong correlation. What do you think?
I think so. Just a little bit here to put a bow on it. Again, Kelly Meyerhofer from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Among those businesses calling for legislative action are some of the state's largest employers: Johnson Controls, Kohler, Epic, American Family Insurance, Rockwell Automation, business groups, as Crudy mentioned, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, Wisconsin Technology Council, and the Fox Cities Chamber of Commerce. Meyerhofer also writes, the State Department of Workforce Development projects 11.5% growth between 2020 and 2030 for architecture and engineering jobs. The average starting base, as mentioned, for UW-Madison engineering majors is $75,000. Oshkosh Corp is always hiring engineers, and Pfeiffer would prefer that they work in Wisconsin, but the industrial technology company can't find them here. It will look elsewhere. Mead and Hunt has a similar story. At career fairs, the Madison-based architectural engineering firm sees one graduating engineer for every two positions employers are seeking to fill. The demand for infrastructure improvement projects Mead and Hunt specializes in is an all-time peak, CEO Andy Platt said. The company hired 300 employees last year and had the resources and interest to hire 100 more. There just weren't enough engineers to hire. And oh yeah, the infrastructure, that's coming down. We're going to need engineers for the infrastructure bill that, what, a lot of Republicans didn't vote for.
If only they were pipeline engineers exclusively, you know, for God's petroleum, Dom. Republicans still love that.
I would love to hire more kids from Wisconsin, but what ends up happening is we export work out of state because we just can't find staffing in our Wisconsin offices, said Platts, whose 1,300-person firm includes 50 offices across the United States.
Well, what'd Tim Michaels say? Lazy Wisconsinites.
Lazy Wisconsinites.
More Devil's Advocates, never lazy. A happier happy hour for your listening pleasure.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter, who was dubbed the Steel Magnolia during Jimmy Carter's time in office, has died at 96.
My role was more one of a sounding board for Jimmy.